Thank you, brother. This morning, I'd like to speak about 10 deadly, strange things that's killing this nation. A few people are talking about. First time strange appears in the Bible is where we will turn now, to Genesis chapter 35. Interesting enough, the second time strange appears, the third time strange appears, it appears in this context. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Lord will bless the reading, hearing, and heeding of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. The first one is America has adopted a lot of foreign, strange gods. Listen, name me one nation, not two, not three, one, that has liberty outside of a Christian context. I just ask you, there are 175 nations seated at the UN. Name one of them that have liberty, the kind that we enjoy, slip sliding away. Few people seem to notice, fewer seem to care. Pulpits are even silent about it. And yet this is what this nation was built upon. I said, name one outside of a Christian context that you can name. Well, it's kind of strange that three generations, here's Abraham, there's Isaac, then there's Jacob. And they generally say that you better watch that third generation. Papa's generation, fine, strong. The son's generation, so-so, but the third generation. Sabrina, let me encourage you. And all young people, when they speak of peer pressure, they're not speaking to you. You don't feel any peer pressure, and don't feel any peer pressure, even when you go to school. Because even within a so-called Christian context of a school, it's not all Christian. And you're going to be surprised if you're not already of what transpires in so-called, quote, Christian schools. It was that way at William Tyndale. It was that way at Detroit Bible College. And it'll be that way at your place, where you go. But remember this. Your peers are only those who are going in the same spiritual direction that you're going. Otherwise, you don't feel any pressure for them to conform. Appreciate that. If you see young ladies that are doing things that you know are not right and righteous, don't consider them your peers. So therefore, you don't feel any pressure. So therefore, don't worry about it. Okay? You right away, you know that what they were presenting at home and what they're presenting now away from home, that's who they really are. But don't go there. Otherwise, these are indeed your peers. So your peers are those who are going up and walking upright. Those are your peers. If they're singing the songs that you're singing, if they're identifying with what you're identifying with in a spiritual manner, these are your peers. Otherwise, you don't feel any peer pressure. At Sears yesterday, you see in the mall some strange things. I, here's a girl, rather, and the way she was dressed. Oh, my. Notice this here in verse 2. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Generally, strange gods bring about uncleanliness and strange garments. And you can almost, you say you can't judge a book by its cover. You want to bet? Not my wife, just that. You shouldn't say that. Don't bet. You can judge a book. If you are in the supermarket or if you're in CVS or whatever, and you see a book called Playboy, yeah, you can judge that book. You see a book called Hustle, you can judge that book. You don't have to open it. It tells you what it is. If you see a Bible, you can judge what's in it. Yes, you can judge. And if you see a young lady that is exposing herself out in the mall, in public, half clad, you can judge that. Yes, you can. In fact, that's what you don't want to be like. And what's worse than that when you see a young girl in a mall like that? You know what's worse than that? Is the mother's walking with her. And she's worse than the daughter. Then you understand where the daughter got it from. You see, so the peer pressure that that girl got, she got it at home. So she can't behave any different. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So he says here, your strange gods among you, and change your garments. They go together. They go together. And then again, he tells them, this before we can worship, before we can go before the altar, before we can do this before God, we've got to change, make sure we're worshiping the same God. This ecumenicalism is killing America. That's what's killing us, you see. We don't even want to identify English as our national language. What's up with that? We don't even want to accept the Judeo-Christian foundations as that which built this nation. What's up with that? Anything basically Christian is the odd man out. In academic circles, in political circles, and sadly, even in more and more Christian circles, so-called. And so this is a rarity, what we have here at Curtis and Grace and various places. Why? Because we are ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about we. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. And if we were shining bright inside here, not here, but I mean collectively of those places calling themselves assemblies, calling themselves Christian churches, the light has gone out there. And if the light within you be darkness, how great is that darkness? And if the salt has lost its savor, we've lost our cutting edge. That's why we're not making a difference. Well, we have some symbols and some analogies here. Put away the strange gods. That's the first time strange appears in the Bible, is to put away strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, notice this, which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears. Now I want you to pay attention to this. Turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua Just bear with me. I'm going to get it. Got to get it. But where I'm going with this is to put away, the emphasis is the earrings, and this is in the men's ear. Now, I've been in assemblies where the men sat down with their hats on, and where their men wore earrings. You know why that is? I had a young man that came in, and he got saved. And the next Sunday, I introduced him to some passages of scripture regarding earrings, and just to see if what he had done the previous Sunday had really took. And you know what he did when I showed him this verse and some other verses, particularly how that this was the sign of being a Ishmaelite? He immediately reached up in his ears and took them off and gave them to me. That man meant business. That man meant business. And when you see this rampant throughout the Christian church, you know there is no teaching. At Warndale, we feed the people like we do at Grace. We feed there on Saturday. On Wednesday, we feed them at Grace. A young man came in, and he kept his hat on. And so I said to him, one of the elders said to him, remove your hat. And he grudgingly removed his hat. And then I finished the devotional, and I went outside and came back in, and he had his hat back on. I said, well, we need to raise the temperature a little bit between his ears to make sure he understood exactly what we're all about, his first time there. And so I leaned over, and you don't want to embarrass people like that. I leaned over to him, and I said to him, I say, did you have a problem with taking your hat off in God's house? I guess it was the way I said it to him and the firmness that I used that he said, he looked up at me and said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I've just forgot it. Well, you see, the problem with people like him is like people that come into our youth center every Friday night, the scores that come in with their pants down, the fellas. Our main target are the men. If we can turn the men around, I'm not worried about the girls. If we can just get them straight, the men. And there was one fellow that came in last week. I said, Rick, put your pants up. He turned around and looked at me, you know, and I can understand that. You know why? Here's a man 24 years old. Nobody else is telling him to pull his pants up. He wears them down at home. He wears them down in society. He probably wore them down when he was going to school. Nobody else ever else addressed him about that, you see? So he said, who are you? Well, that's the reason why we have devotion, because people like that, if they don't appreciate the simple rules we have, it doesn't cost you anything to come here. It doesn't cost you anything for the hot dogs, juice, and chips. If you can't sit down and listen and follow the rules, well, don't come back, because a little leaven will spoil the whole lump. And you're not going to destroy the whole lump. Not here. You might as well hit the door. Let the doorknob hit you, as they say, where the dog should have bit you. So here, he's getting them straight. Before you worship, hey, change your garments. Change your garments, because the two go together. Next, take a look at Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And there's another strange thing that God wants us to be Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And you know this story too well. Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein. Now the incense and the fire go together, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And he had specifically said, don't do it. You just can't offer to the Lord just anything. God has a prescribed approach to him, and he has a prescribed what we are to offer to him. And these boys knew it. They were the sons. As I indicated, let me finish this one. Here is Pops. He's fine. Here is the son. He's so. But that third generation, and it generally works out that way all the time. I've watched it over the last 40-some years where the father was strong, the son was so-so, but the children of son. And I say to our folks, even at the early service today, if you come periodically, count on it, your children won't come at all. They'll see through your sham, really. If you can just take it, come to Curtis when you get ready, and come when you get ready, breaking bread when you get ready. I hope that you're not rearing or trying to teach or nurture children like that, because what you're saying is not going to mean a thing, because they're watching how you behave. They're watching and see if you're carrying this stuff out. Do you really believe this stuff? And they will not come at all. And I've seen it happen over the years. The grandfather was strong, the son followed so, but that third generation, you didn't see him. You hardly ever see them. We were just speaking about a young boy today after communion that came to the youth center a number of times. Now, what if we were like a group that came down from Monroe, Michigan, and they wanted to play basketball, and they did. Now, this is a Christian so-called school and church. The team came down. Then I called for devotion. And the coach said, what does that mean? The coach. Well, it means this, that we're going to take time and honor the Lord who provided this place. It means this, that we're going to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a coach? The coach, Christian coach so-called. I'm saying to you that, hey, don't be concerned about what's going out there. That's not hurting us. What's hurting us are those who profess that sometimes what you question, do they really possess by the way they forsake the assembling of themselves together? Don't do that, because it will show and tell in the next generation, namely your own children's children. Trust me, it will. I'm telling you. Can't emphasize that enough. And here, it didn't take long. Here are the boys who knew better. They offered strange kinds of incense, strange kind of prayers, strange kind of worship by this fire which the Lord commanded in mind. It didn't come off the altar. That's the point. Wherever they got it from, it doesn't matter. And whatever you say, make sure it comes out of the book. Make sure it's thus saith the Lord. And then another strange phenomenon is coming along in Christian circles, and we call it Christian, and that is the Pauline brethren, the so-called grace brethren. Well, I wonder if they are grace brethren. The reason why I say that, because they only preach, they only teach in what Paul said. Well, Paul wouldn't have any of that. He said, Paul said, he said, don't mention my name. Don't say you are Paul. Don't say you are of Cephas. I can speak for my brother Peter. Don't say you are of Apollos. I can speak for him. We didn't save you. We didn't die for you. He says, as far as baptizing, just a few of you. I didn't even keep records of those that I baptized, because that's not what saved you. Jesus saved you. And woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. That's what Paul said. He highlighted the Lord, not himself. Boy, I tell you, we embrace these people. And then the main thing is, every time you see scripture in the New Testament, it's referring to the Old Testament. What did Philip lead the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord by? What scripture? Isaiah 53. Didn't turn the page. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He didn't turn the page, Old Testament, and preached unto him Jesus. On the road to Emmaus, the two disciples, the Lord walking along. He said, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another, that as you walk in and say, man, what are you, a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things that come to pass in these last days? What things? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, mighty indeed before God and man, and how he went around doing good. And besides all of this, is the third day, and we thought he'd be raised from the dead. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the scriptures have said. Old Testament, New Testament wouldn't come into business for another 50 years. So what are you talking about? Paul's epistles. The Lord himself started with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and in all of the Old Testament. And he spoke about himself. So it's heresy, friend, to go along with the grace brethren. The Lord Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Old Testament has said, as the scriptures have said. The Apostle Paul himself rebuked that. He said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also we receive, wherein you stand. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Old Testament, and how that he was buried, and how that he rose again on the third day, according to the Old Testament. Again and again, the scriptures from a child. Timothy, you have known the Old Testament, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't back down from this, saints. Don't cut these people any slack. They're wrong. Tell them they're wrong. You're not helping them by going along with it. Strange doctrines is what we're talking about. And that's what's out here nowadays. Strange doctrines. And that is a strange, strange doctrine. Strange fire. Strange incense. Strange gods. God has a strange judgment too. It's a strange work. Yes, it is. It's a strange work. In Isaiah 28, 21, he hates to use it. God doesn't want to judge you. You're already judged. You didn't come into the world to condemn you. Why? You can't condemn a condemned man. It's like the guy that got a double death sentence. Somebody said, if you carry out just the first one, I think we'll suspend the second one. if you carry out the first one, we'll let the second one slide. No, he didn't come into the world to condemn you. And again, the Lord Jesus, backing up on the Pauline brethren, the Lord Jesus said before, he said John 3:16, he said John 3:15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He preluded John 3:16 with John 3:15 as Moses. Old Testament. Lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But that was predicated on John 3:15, the Old Testament. So we don't back down from that. Those, listen, if you have a book of the Bible, the book of John, St. John, fine. But you don't have the Bible. You have a book of John. If you have the New Testament, fine. You've got the scriptures of the New Testament. But you don't have the Bible. The Bible composed of 66 books, 39 old, 27. This is the Bible. The Jews do not have the Bible. They have the Old Testament of the Bible. And I'll tell you something else, because I have to warn folks at Grace, maybe not here. But if you come in, and I just broke down, came into the 21st century, I just got rid of my Beta front end loader. I'm gonna sell it to Daniel, but I just got a smartphone. I came kicking and screaming it has the Bible in it. But this is not the Bible. I didn't buy this to be the Bible. It has the Bible. I can go into it and find the Bible. But I bought this as a smartphone because I've been carrying a dumb phone too long. But speaking of smartphones, be careful. Be careful, because check your children's so-called smartphones and their Facebook. I would warn you. A lady said to me, she checked her Facebook of her daughter's Facebook. Oh, and some of the horrible pictures. These guys will send you that kind of stuff. And these girls will send you that kind of stuff. You know, it's not just one way. And so I would, and don't let him say, well, that's my phone. Well, when you start paying the bills, we'll talk about it. Yeah, but it's your phone, your parents' phone. It's on loan to you. You are steward of it as long as you behave yourself and conducting yourself. Because this technology is hurting a lot. People have gotten killed, gotten kidnapped, gotten raped because of these phones. Let's understand this. What could be meant and should be meant for good has also been used for evil. Yeah. And it's incumbent upon parents to oversee this stuff. Not that you don't trust your child. That's not the issue. It's like the guy that in Chicago, his car kept getting broken into, and so they were taking his CD equipment out, radio out, so he put a sign on the window, no CD, no radio, no stereo. They broke in it anyway and turned the sign around and put on there, just checking. That's all you're doing. You're just checking. You're just checking. If there's nothing from nothing, leave nothing. If they're not up to anything, no harm, no foul, you see? All right. Now, some other strange stuff that's killing this nation. Some other strange stuff. Now, the strange, Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. Here's another strange one that we must be aware of. And if you're not, it'll be upon you before you know it. The Philistines be upon you, and you won't even be aware of it. Hosea 5, verse 7. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. They have begotten strange children. Well, this girl that was with her mother, well, you can see why she is the way she is. And you can guess what she'll look like in another few months, no doubt. That mother will be a grandmother before that girl gets to be 19 years old. Why? Just look at her. Strange children will begat strange children. Here it is. These are the strange things. And do you know how many wanted felons are in Wayne County? You know how many illegals that are in Wayne County? They're not going to mention this. Why? It's not popular. It's not politically correct. And they want those votes. And you know the key reason why they don't want any registration, even of illegals? You know, I just gave you the answer. Because you know who they're going to vote for. They're going to vote for somebody that's going to give them something for nothing, obviously. You see, where else can you get away with that at? You try to go to the bank and do business like that. You try to get a gun permit, try to get a hunting license, anything but one of the most precious things, to vote, and you don't have to have ID? It's a political thing. Whenever it becomes political, all bets are off for anything else. You can rest assured that strange children, and we're beginning strange children who know not God, know not his word, know not his son, and have no regard for his church. When I was coming up, there were three things you feared. You feared God. If you didn't, they'd put the fear of God in you. And you feared your parents, and you feared the police. Just the opposite is true. One of the last cases that I had a run to before I left the police department was to a guy, blood was coming out of his vessels in his neck, been shot, a stab. He didn't have long for this life. And we tried to get information. You know, they say Ray Jestai is the man's last words. Generally, he won't lie. But you can't always trust that, because Tupac Shakur, his last words to the police when they asked him who did it, he said, F you. That was his very last words. He went out to meet God like that. And this guy, who did it? He didn't want anything to do with it. He hated us more than the guy that shot him. Now, you figure that out. Understand? This is the mystery of iniquity. Here's a guy, shot him, dumped him in the alley, and I called EMS. EMS came. He said, don't let a white hand touch me. And I said, the white hand didn't put you in this. And the black hand, it didn't make him any difference. That's evil. This guy out in California, these girls don't like me. I'll make them wish they had. You know, they talk about a psychology problem. They talk about every kind of sociology problem, a poverty. This guy had it made. His mother just gave him a BMW. What was his problem? What's wrong with me? And then selfing himself and advising that over the internet. No shame at all. And we're trying to psychoanalyze it. Well, these guns. And one of the victim's father said that NRA should be ashamed of itself. No, it didn't. It shouldn't be ashamed. I'm the sergeant of arms of the NRA. That's right. I'm a sergeant of arms. And I thank God for the NRA. That's the only thing that stands between us and a tyrannical government. You better thank God for the NRA. And then he says, get rid of these. We got to do something about these guns. Sir, six people killed, three by gun, three by knife. What about the knives? The last I heard, the Boston Strangler, you want to get rid of the ropes? The last I heard, OJ got rid of those two by not a gun. You want to get, what are you talking about? No, what they're really after is the Second Amendment. Let me tell you something. The Second Amendment is what makes the First Amendment possible. You get rid of the Second Amendment, you have no First Amendment. I've got some nice weapons at my house. If you want them, come at 3 o'clock in the morning to the back door. I'll give you all of them. Strange children. Hebrews 13:9. Look at this. Let's look at 8 first. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You know what that means? You know what it's teaching? And it's hardly ever said. We throw this out. You know what it's teaching? It's teaching one thing, first of all and foremost. It's saying he's God. There's only one person who is the same yesterday, today, and you can count on him being the same tomorrow. Thank God that's somebody we can trust. Thank God that's somebody we can trust. See? Every time I come here, I see some of you folks getting a little older. Not me, but you. You're not the same as you were yesterday. If you think so, try to get into your high school clothes. No, you're not the same. Nobody, and we're not. He is. He cannot change. He's not something. He can't be improved upon. He can't be diminished from. He is the same. It teaches first of all and foremost that he is God. He can be trusted yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same in essence as God the Father. That's exactly what it means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same, that's it, same thing. At the same was in the beginning with God. That's what it means. Let's get that straight first. That he is God. He can be trusted today. He can be trusted tomorrow. The day after that. Just like he was yesterday. That's what it's teaching. And Then you can talk about the next verse. Be not carried away with strange divers and strange, about divers and strange doctrines. Watch this stuff, strange doctrines. See? And let me tell you something. There's another group out there that teaches and believes that you can be saved and lost. You know what that says? That he is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means what he started, he can't finish. I mean, that's what you're saying. That means what he started, you have to finish. In spite of the fact that Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus. Which is harder, to save you or to keep you? To save you is harder. If he can save you, mean you tell me he doesn't have enough strength to keep you? I mean, how ludicrous. You're embarrassing him by talking like that. And then how can you be an effective witness if you're not sure who you are and whose you are and where you're going? How can you tell somebody? How can you give anybody else assurance? All this goes back to this. He's the same yesterday. Doesn't change. Today and forever. So therefore, anything that differs from this is strange stuff that we'd have nothing to do with. Thank God he saves. Thank God he keeps. But watch these strange doctrines that pop up. Another strange one, too. Get this one here. Turn to Proverbs. I'm going to throw this in. Won't cost you nothing extra. Turn to Proverbs, chapter 29. Turn to Proverbs 20. Please get this, because people have ran off half-cocked with this for years. Proverbs 29. You'll see it when I spell it out to you. Watch this. Verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You know what they try and translate that to mean? Well, you got to have a vision over here. You know, there's people over here without a vision. That's why this, you got to have a, what's your vision? When they candidate for pastoral jobs, and that's what it is, hirelings, they say, what's your vision? He has a resume, for, 10 pages long, where he's going to do this and he's going to do that. That's his vision. Has absolutely, and uses this text. It has absolutely nothing to do with that at all. Period. Has nothing to do with your plans to build a gymnasium or to feed the hungry or to do, has nothing to do with none of that, not even to pass out tracts, nothing to do with any of that. What does it have to do with? What it says it has to do with, it tells you in the text, but he that keepeth my word, he that keepeth the law, that's the word, happy is he. He that stays with what is already recorded, that's the vision. If your vision is his vision, that's the vision. That's the vision for Kirk. You don't waver. You don't turn. You don't make accommodations for something else just to draw people, because what you draw them with, you hold them to. Understand that. I don't care who comes or who doesn't come. That's the vision. The word of God is the vision. Nothing else. Well, we got to get a band in here. We got to get drum. We got to get a new vision. That is, then you're leaving the vision. I said, what you draw them with is what you hold them to. Entertainment, you can fill this place up. If you want to dance and rock and roll and open the doors and let them hear that strange music, that's another strange one. Oh, yeah, they'll come in. Absolutely. But what you're drawing them to, that's what you're going to have to keep up. And you're going to have to turn up the volume. Oh, yes, you're going to have to turn up the volume, because they've got to move a little bit faster. Don't be misled by that. Mercy, where there is no vision, where there is no word of God, where there is not the testimony of God. That's what it's saying, nothing else. Not some human imagination. But I tell you how we have barbecued this text. Mercy. Let's go to Jude chapter 7. Here's one of the worst of the worst. Jude chapter 7. You got it? Just testing you. Jude 7. Here it is. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, leaving them, giving themselves over to fornication and going after, here's another strange flesh. Oh, if that's not If that's not dominating our schools at every level, if that's not dominating our politics at every level, and it's sad to say this because I supported John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy wouldn't know this Democratic Party. He wouldn't be welcome in this Democratic Party. Those of you who are old enough to remember should know there wasn't a dime's difference between Nixon and Kennedy at that time concerning the moral issues, concerning abortion, prayer in school. There wasn't a dime's worth of difference, I'm telling you. There wasn't. And the only reason Kennedy won was because of television. Nixon sweated a little bit. Oh, we don't want no sweating president. But on radio, Nixon won. It was by looks, and the women put Kennedy in. We don't want no ugly president. Well, you got what? You got a nice-looking president now. How's it got you, huh? So oh, my goodness, Lord. It's a shame that they will not one of them of the leadership in the Democratic Party will break ranks, and that's the reason why you know it's a spiritual matter. That the whole party, and let me say this, and the Republican Party is not too far behind. They should be ashamed of themselves, too. They don't take the stand they ought to take on these issues. They're afraid. Making accommodations for strange flesh. And now they have in the service, they have, as you know, they have sodomite chaplains. Can you imagine? And now they've gone a step further. I think I mentioned this before. Now they have atheist chaplains. Imagine that. Here you're an atheist. You call for a chaplain. He comes, the atheist chaplain, to an atheist soldier and say, what do you want? Well, I have some problem. Well, it's not about anything. Why? Because you don't believe anything. I don't believe anything. So see you later. What is that to say? What are you going to have a chaplain for? An atheist chaplain? This just shows you how far this nation have gone. We're endorsing all the things that God condemned. And lastly, God's strange work, and I don't have time to get into that. It's just judgment. I talked about that. Strange apparel. Strange doctrines, strange children, strange fire, strange incense, strange gods. But let's look at this last one right quick. 1 Kings chapter 11. And this is from a guy who should have known better. He was raised better. And that tells you sometimes that sometimes good children can come from bad homes and bad children can come from good homes. It's an individual thing, you see. Did I mention to you before about Lot's daughters? Did you hear me before? Huh? You know, Lot's daughters get a bad rap. Did you know that? They say, well, they went with their dad. They had incest with their father. Well, did I mention that? Huh? And when you talk like that, you haven't done your homework. You haven't done your homework. I'll tell you why. Who did Abraham marry? Who was she? Who did Isaac? Did the same thing. And when Abraham went for a bride for Isaac, he went said, go back to my home. You see, here's why. Those girls were virgins. Don't you forget that. Don't make light of that. In fact, Lot was getting ready to offer them to the men than those godly men that were there. And that indicated his love for the Lord. He knew those men were godly men from God. And I'll sacrifice my love for my daughters for God. That was a testimony on his part. Peter tells us he was a just man, that he was a godly man. And his daughters were not going to stand in the way of him, of being those godly men being interfered with. And what they were doing, they had no more husbands. They were gone. And they were trying to continue the godly seed. That was in their minds. They were not. If they wanted to be loose, they had all Sodom and all their lifetime to be loose. To be a virgin in Sodom, and you're going to make light of them? Shame on you. And besides that, God hadn't given the order about incest yet. That's why he said, don't you lay a hand on Cain. I haven't said anything about prosecuting murderers. Yes, it's wrong. I'll deal with him. I'll put a mark on him. But don't you touch him. You can't go beyond the word of God. He hadn't said a thing until Leviticus about incest. So shame on you to condemn those girls like that. When you have not one verse of scripture to do it. They were virgins. They were not loose. They were trying. And then on top of that, what came from the seed of Moab? with the incest, Ruth. Now, what are you going to say about that? The great-grandmother of King David. Be careful about that. Do your homework. Don't come away with just an elementary glass and condemn those girls. Don't do that. But they knew they had to get old Pops drunk before they... He wouldn't have gone along with that. And right, God is not commending that. Don't misunderstand me. He wasn't commending Abraham and Sarah either, but he used it. Yes, he did. He used Isaac and Rebecca. Yes, he did. And he said, Jacob and Leah built the house of Israel. He didn't say a man did, they did. And all the feud between those two. But God used that. And from that came the great-grandmother, King David, Ruth. What do you have to say about that? You can't have it both ways. Father, we give thanks for yourself, for your son, for your word. It's forever settled in heaven. Cause it to be forever settled in each of our hearts. That we'll live by it, that we'll die by it, but we'll never compromise it. Grant it so, for Christ's sake. Oh, chapter 11, 1, verse 1. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
For some reason.